Good morning, each one. Well, you get to hear from three messages this morning. It's been good to be here already, and I am trusting the Lord to just do my part here this morning. Glad to depend on Him by faith. So let's start with prayer. Father, thank you that you are a loving Father. You're a good shepherd, as we've heard. Thank you that you are powerful. Thank you that you you want to work in and through us as imperfect people, your creation. Just ask that you would just guide my words, Father, that what I speak could be just as a vessel, so that your message could be heard. Thank you that you have given me a message this morning and your faithfulness in that. And so we just ask your Holy Spirit to direct and, Lord, help me to speak, Father, and help each of the listeners to hear down to their heart. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Would there be, I'm guessing there's a whiteboard in the side here. Would one or two of you brothers just set that up if there is? If it's not there, it's fine, I can get along. But if there is, that would be great. All right. Well, I was thankful to God for His clear direction of what I was supposed to share on this morning. Certainly not always been like that. Sometimes I've struggled with wondering what I'm supposed to share on. But this time, I think it was last Tuesday, I was asking the Lord what I should study, and just right away, I was surprised how quick it was. I didn't have multiple choice options and, you know, guiding through this or that. Right away, this came to me that I'm supposed to speak about God's written word, the scripture. And so that's what I want to faithfully do this morning. And yeah, along those lines of how to view God's written word. And I didn't, yeah, it was from the Lord. So I desire just to speak what He's laid on my heart. Thanks, brother. And start off with a few verses from Psalm 119. Very interesting. My verse of the day covered the first two verses of this set of three verses that I had marked down to start with. So that was a blessing as well. Psalm 119, verses 3 through 5. Sorry, 103 through 105. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And there's a lot in those verses. How sweet are thy words to my taste. The one song Brother Caleb led this morning talked about sweeter than honey, I think, and talking about the beauty of Christ. And here, David, says that God's word is supposed to be sweet. It's supposed to taste good. It's supposed to be something pleasant, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And then, through thy precepts, I get understanding. And that kind of speaks to direction. You know, if we understand something, then we know what to do with. We know the direction to go. And therefore, I hate every false way. So if there's a false way, it's a way that's wrong, a way that's in error. And so that sounds like direction as well. Maybe even traveling, false way. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So my feet, David, here he speaks personally, that it's his own direction. And for us, this can be very personal. You know, what do we do with our feet? We walk, right? Again, it's direction. And a light to my path, definitely direction. So I just want to quick mark a little image down for a visual. And stick men never fail, so that should work. But this is you, so it's me too. So, think of direction. I just, in very simple form, think of our current location, where we are, and, you know, God's word is for someone that wants to learn about God. The scripture is talking about the way of the kingdom. And I just thought of our current location. And if we're seeking to learn more about God, you know, if we want to seek God, understand him more, draw near to him, the direction we want to go is closer to God, then, you know, I just thought of a house. It's like, this is home. You know, that's where we want to end up, is in heaven to finish well and all the decisions along the way. So, on a map, there's often more than just one road, which would be obvious, but that is how it is. And so there are intersections that we come to. And so that was supposed to be a straight line, but anyway, you get the picture. When it comes to direction in life, there are or decisions in life. There's different options, different intersections, and different opinions, lots of different opinions, different teachers. And the object there, it's a visual to describe a message, and the message is that the scripture is perfect. The scripture, rightly used, will never lead us wrong. It's going to take us straight home. And when we get off track, we can get back on track. So, anyway, just a bit of a example there. So, the scripture is... No, maybe I'll just back up a bit. So, when it comes to practical Bible reading and, you know, personally reading the scripture, I remember, I think I was about 9 years old, I was at a conference and it was presented there that we should make a commitment to read the Bible for 5 minutes every day. And so I wanted to do the right thing. My desire was to, you know, learn about God, and I thought that sounded like a good thing, so I did that. I made a commitment to read the Bible 5 minutes every day. And I think I prayed, and there was a certain way that they presented it to the audience. And so I did that, and so it was kind of like a checklist, which I actually use a lot of checklists in my life, but when it comes to relationships, checklists can be actually quite insufficient in some ways. So I remember, like, if I would miss my 5 minutes, like I would, you know, watch the time, And 5 minutes sounds so short, but whatever, that's what it was. And it still surprisingly took effort to do it. But if I'd missed my 5 minutes, I'd feel guilty. I would feel like I feel guilty. It did make me do it. Like, having that in my mind did direct me to make a point of reading my 5 minutes, but it definitely often felt dry, and I felt like I didn't understand it very well. But I did it, and so I'm not sure. I'm not really going to say if that's the ideal way to have a time limit. I actually don't think it's a bad idea, but it can't be the motivating factor. As we go on further, pray to describe more. I remember one time when I was young, there doing that 5 minutes. One day I did 10 minutes, and I thought, well, now I have more free time tomorrow. And it's funny how I remember that. For some reason, I don't know why, but Mom, I don't know why, she somehow found out that this is what I was doing, and she said she didn't think that's a very good idea. But anyway, kind of shows what the checklist can do, actually, in the negative ways. The next day, I don't have to read the Bible because I did yesterday more, you know. Anyway, kind of humorous. So I think, without a doubt, the scripture is perfect, and it will direct us straight home. It will direct us to God. It will direct us to salvation and to the end of our life, entering into eternity with Christ. So it's like, it's perfect and it's extremely necessary, but then the practical, how do we read it and how do we receive from it, that's kind of what I want to discuss a bit here. And, or share on. So, I guess as I was considering that, I wondered, well, what are some spiritual abuses that can be applied? And because I think, anyway, this is what I came up with, a few ideas. So, you could say the statement, well, read your Bible so you won't feel guilty or condemned. Like, why should you read your Bible? Well, one reason you could say is read it so you don't feel guilty and condemned. I don't think that's a very good reason. Actually, a bad reason. Because then you can deceive yourself. Another idea might be, if you don't read your Bible, you must not love God. Or another way of saying it is, simply reading your Bible is loving God. And that's also false. To just naturally read through the words is not loving God. It's supposed to go the other way around, where you love God and that's why you read. But I think it could be spiritual abuse. If somebody, you know, I'm thinking more of, you know, two people are talking about it or something, but also the way we think to ourselves. If a motivating reason to read the Bible is so that you love God, that's, I think, also out of the right order. And another one is, don't be self-righteous and read your Bible. It'll make people around you feel guilty. So be humble and don't read your Bible. And I don't know, I'm sure some of you are wondering who would ever say that, but I think others would actually identify, and I can identify with that. That is also a bad reason. The bad mindset. To not read your Bible and feel good about it, because otherwise it'll make someone feel guilty. It's the words of life, and we should read our Bibles. It just should do it for the right reason. Just another thought in the same line is this thing of influence. My wife and I were actually talking about it just this morning, and through our conversation, we were talking about this idea how you become like your friends, and the people you're around influence you. And so if we want to be influenced in the ways of God, choose to put yourself under the influence of the Bible. That's a good reason to do it. That's one good reason to read the Bible, is because what you read, people you're around, they influence you, and they become part of who you are. I think we're people that are influenced. So if we say we want to become like Jesus, let's read about him and about different principles of the Trinity God through the whole Word. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. This is where Jesus was tempted of the devil. After when he was fasting for 40 days, and quite familiar passage to most, but I think a great place where it presents the power of Scripture. And so let's just read through some verses here, and then we'll comment back. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I'll comment as we go a bit here. So he said, It is written. Right there he said, The scripture says, the written word of God says. And he just, like, it's so simple. His statement is, like, really short. And some of us, some people, sometimes have a hard time putting it in a nutshell. But, like, there's obviously a powerful response there. Because the devil didn't challenge him more. He went on to the next thing. So as we continue, I'm just thinking of how Scripture is powerful when you believe it, not just by saying the words. And that's probably important to remember. So that could be discussed further. I don't have all the answers to that. But somehow, when Jesus quoted Scripture, it was powerful enough to just send the devil, like, he just, like a balloon was popped, just deflated. And he went on to the next thing. But my point is, it's not just saying the words, it's believing them. So, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the devil's saying, Worship me, and I'll give you everything that he apparently thought he had. And Jesus said, Again, it is written. He referenced the authority of Scripture. Only worship God. And he brought him into Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And so the way it's written, it's saying that the devil is quoting Scripture, which I believe is true. Just this morning, I think, I forget who mentioned it, but that verse, maybe Brother Ken was reading in Psalm 91. That's where that verse is, previously mentioned. Psalm 91, verse 12. And so the devil was twisting it, and And yet the devil was speaking scripture, right? But it was not being used properly. And Jesus answering said unto him, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So, I don't know, there's probably much that could be said about this passage, but it's just, in the context I was thinking, it just shows the power of Scripture, the authority of Scripture that just deflated the enemy's temptation. And do we get temptation in our lives? Do we know what that's like? I think we do, all of us. There's a lot of pulls left and right from the way of life. Our flesh is still in existence, and we have to choose to die to self. And when those temptations come, the authority of Scripture is an amazing resource. Second Timothy 3, another familiar passage, but very relevant. I'll just read it here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's packed with power. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I guess my time is going quickly. Right there, this God's written word itself says that every bit of scripture is profitable. So that line is straight from where we're at to home. And I feel like it could go on. I'm not sure what I would say, though. So maybe one thing I just touch on is, earlier I mentioned that my younger years reading the scripture was like, it felt dry and difficult. And it did. I don't feel like I have the answers to all that. That could be a good discussion, I think, for anybody to discuss, is how does that process work best from starting to where the scripture starts to become familiar and you can see its life-giving effectiveness in our lives. And I don't know exactly what to say to that, except it just keeps getting better and better. And as you rehearse the scripture, as you become more and more familiar, it becomes sweeter. And so don't stop at the first corner. Don't stop. Don't give up. And discuss it with your friends, with people you respect. Like, make it a matter of discussion. Bring it into your life. And that's, I think, when it becomes more real. And and the rewards are just huge. So, yeah, I was blessed just to ponder this myself. And I guess I just want to speak an encouragement to each of you brothers and sisters that are seeking to draw closer to the Lord. Just keep active in reading his letter to us. That's what it is. It's the letter of Jesus to us. And then, you know, it's his letter comes and his spirit directs through his letter and his power makes us able to carry it out. It's all these things that need to work together, I believe. So love God with everything that you are. I just think of that verse. It's always spoke to me a lot, you know, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what Jesus says, the greatest commandment. Love God with everything you are. And as you seek him in that way, read his scripture and let that be an active part of this loving God. I think God will bless that. So thank the Lord for his written word, and may we partake in that powerful resource and grow in our personal understanding of it. That's all I have. God bless you.